Madre, estamos todos. Olé, que Namja, Xu Che, da, Nji, Nji, que Namja, Nyamlin, Jia, Chu Tuo Chi Su, Sai, Chu Tuo Chi Su, Tan Nyamlin, Chi Su, Kan Xi Wu, Sai, Ru, Dang, Lu, Chi. Eh, que Vili, Nyamlin, Kan Xi Wu, Ri, An, Ma, An, Mi, Que Vili, Ki, Pa, Ma, Ya, Ya, Sam, Ma, Kan, Tang, Wu, Ri, Sai, Nen, Sa, Dang, Ju, Al, Ri, Sai, Na, Nen, Que Vili, La, Ti, Ne, Ni, Ti, Bu, Ti, Ki, Yuan, Di, Que Vili, La, Ti, Ti, Tung, Wu, Ri, Ni, Mi, Que Vili, La, Ti, Ne, Ti, Bu, Tung, Ma, Yu, Wu, Ri, Ba, Nen, Sa, Ta, Ti, Ni, Ja, Du, Wei, Ki, Ti, Wa, Ti, Kwa, Ba, Ri, Tung, Wa, Ri, Mi, Go, Wei, Sa, Ta, Tung, Wa, Ki, Ju, Mi, Ga, Wa, Ti, Pa, Tu, Ya, Ta, Ni, Ti, Wa, Yu, Ki, Ju, Ki, Wa, Ti, Tu, Ya, Ti, Nen, Sa, Ma, Du, Ong, Tu, Si, Ne, Ju, Tu, Che, Wu, Ri, Ya, Si, Ti, Kwa, Ma, Ti, Si, Ma, Du, Pe, Ni, Chu, Ju, Ki, Ti, Su, Ni, Wa, Mi, Ge, Mi, Ge, Wa, Li, Tu, Ma, Chung, De, Li, Ti, Ta, Ri, Ani, Tu, Ni, Si, Ni, Zen, Ta, Du, Da, Gi, Ni, Ti, Ni, Pa, Si, Sam, Ri, Ti, Ni, Ge, Ong, Tu, Si, Ti, Na, Si, Ti, Ni, Ge, Yu, Cho, Ge, Tam, Ji, Ye, Ta, Wa, Mu, Le, Ba, Tu, Bi, Sung, Si, Ti, Yang, Ta, Zau, Ti, Yang, Zau, Wa, Ta, Tu, Ni, Ni, Min, Ji, Wu, Ti, Yang, Zau, Ta, Wa, Ni, Ni, Min, Ji, Wu, Kun, Bi, So, O, Si, Ti, Ong, Tu, Ki, Si, Ti, Ni, Si, Ru, Wa, Ti, Ni, Za, Ma, Ji, Li, E, Ti, Ni, Ki, Li, Ki, Ni, Sam, Na, Na, Kur, Ba, Ti, Si, Ti, Si, Ru, Ri.
Right, good evening. So we've been looking at the presentation on cause and effect or karma for some time. We've come to one of the final outlines, having contemplated karma's effects, how to engage in virtue and desist from non-virtue. So we've come to recognize through this presentation that the happiness that we've enjoyed thus far and that we seek all comes about in dependence on causes. So too, the suffering that we wish to avoid and we have had to endure thus far, it too comes about in dependence on causes. Understanding this, then, it's imperative that we take this knowledge and we integrate it deeply within, so that it's not a mere intellectual knowledge that's something we've heard before and we know and we accept, but rather something that actively changes how we think and therefore how we behave. Because we all want to experience happiness and be freed of suffering. This year, then, is the presentation on what those causes are to accumulate for happiness and what are those to abandon because they will lead to suffering. And last time, we looked at the two verses from the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. So it's in the middle of page 142. Suffering arises from non-virtue. How can I definitely gain liberation from it? It is appropriate day and night always to contemplate nothing but this. The sage taught that resolute faith is the root of all virtues, and the root of that is to meditate continuously on fully ripened effects.
ကံနာပလီယေဆာကာဘောစေတေကေဝီလေဆောနာပစနမီကေဝီလေချိုရေချေသာတာကံနာတူချင်းတံဘောတံကေဝီလေတံမီကေဝီလေဒနေချနေကေဝါရေတီချနေမီကေဝါရေဆေချေသာလူငယ်ယူကနေကေဝတ်တန်တီဟောက်ကွာတာလူငယ်ကနေမီကေဝါဆာလန်ဟောက်ကိုတင်းဟောက်ကနေတန်ကေဝီလေလက်တင်နေချူအန်ကေဝါဒီတီချေယောယာတာမီကေဝီလေလက်တင်ချူတူဝယုံကောဆေအိုဒူစင်ဒီအားလေယန်ဒူရှင်ယူချေချပါချေကွန်ပါချာဆေအားလေယန်ဒူကွန်ဆေတေတာ ကျေဝမ်တဲ့ ဆိုချင်တဲ့အနေနဲ့ကျွန်မစံပါတွင်တာတူရှင်တဲ့အနေနဲ့ကွန်ပျူတာစက်မတူတေဆောင်းရောဒီသာဒီနေ့ကြီးရဲ့ရှင်တို့ကိုကြိုးကိုတို့ကြည့်ပေငယ်ပါအနေအဲချိန်ရပါနေကပ်ပြီးချိုးစစ်သာတဲ့လေတဲ့ဆက်တဲ့ရှင်တော်တို့အဲချင်းတဲ့အဲချမောရဲ့ဇာတ်လေရှင်ထိုင်တဲ့ထားဝဆက်တဲ့မတူလေလဝဟောက်ဝဲတဲ့ကနေခေါ်ချော်ရဲ့ဆိုရှင်တို့ကိုကြိုးစစ်တဲ့ဇာတ်ရှင်တို့ကိုကြိုးစစ်တဲ့ဟို lungkonale tene te ishi che kelingo nyeba nyeba bainza ele ene nyeba de jene kelege ege na chayi tawa de shin do kokyo yes
And after those two verses, Lama Tsongkhapa commented by saying that it's imperative that one comes to understand the presentations on virtuous and non-virtuous karma and understand, coming to having understood what constitutes virtuous and non-virtuous karma. One needs to reflect on this with analytical meditation repeatedly over a sustained period, coming to understand one's way of thinking and seeing one's way of thinking and the subsequent physical and verbal behavior through the lens of what is virtuous and what is non-virtuous karma, so that one can have confidence that one is striving in the abandonment of non-virtue and the accumulation of excellent karmic, virtuous karmic imprints. Moreover, Lama Tsongkhapa said that to understand the complexities of karma in fine detail is very difficult for us to do. In fact, it's not possible for us to understand the fine workings of karma, because it is an extremely hidden phenomenon, which means that for non-Buddhists, one cannot rely on reasoning to come to understand the precise and subtle workings of karma. Our reasoning capacity is insufficient. Therefore, for a more general understanding of karma, we can utilize analytical meditation. But for the fine detail, there one needs to rely on the teachings of the Buddha. As ordinary people understand and what is beyond our capacity right now. So, for example, we all know that if we plant a specific seed in the right kind of soil with the right conditions, such as warmth and moisture, then that seed will sprout. And if it continues to have various causes met, then the sprouts will grow, and eventually the plants will be fully mature and even bear fruit. So this we know, it's within our realms of reasoning to be taught this and to understand this. So this level of, from this cause comes this effect, needs these ripening conditions. This is beyond, this is within our capacity. But there is a subtler level of working of cause and effect that is beyond the common understanding of the average person. And that is, what is the capacity, or what is it about that seed that actually ripens? What is the potency or the capacity of that seed to ripen? Now, therefore, possibly all of us, or the majority of us in this room, we don't really know, but certainly botanists who have studied this well, they will be able to give a long discourse on what the capacity or the potency of a seed is that leads it to sprout when it meets the right conditions into that particular plant. So for them, those experts in the field, they can see it, subtler workings of cause and effect that for the majority of people is just beyond our capacity.
And then you said that Kiri said teletinative with Tiki Ungris, Migiri teletinative with Tuma Ungris said that is all Kiri that Migiri said in the Migitoyo Marwa, Migitoyo Marta Lavish Rayo Marwa. Says that the Nigel Zata and the Kiri said to Shin, Shimju Jeva Cheyana, the Tennis, what Dambo Tobache, Tinitin, the Summer Dinet, dele yani liye sertini de bine samı tada nareye liye ser samı tova düşe semba ilece var yaparsa samı na sosine yumur. İnade de liye serti kedi liye serti de simcü semba de liye ser. Çeda duşini simcü içine o yüzden tampo tövbeci tövbeki denege yani samdadın denege samlı koyu düşsimcü semba de kedi liye liye ser. An dele dinene cevu de yumur liye serti an dübi duşini tövbeci tövbeki dönel yani yani samda gümce samda duşini çeyizde liye günce gibi liye dele dene de cevu de gibi var de liye günce sigur es. Ve samlı tane samlı tane dene içine simcü semba de diye simcü semba de liye liye. Di keva çinna da Kevilere, diye bude da mağbara tiki yongure. Dedi miğe o çinden, di miğe öyle simli sembe. Dedi diye bude tuğal yongure seri. Tamam diyor duşuna simli işe samda cevacı. Dedi duşuna hava koyma çabuk var. Dedi yine hava diyor rabacı ile tamam.
The presentation on karmic cause and effect is primarily looking at virtuous karmic causes that lead to virtuous or happy ripening results, and non-virtuous karmic causes that leads to non-virtuous or suffering results. So this is something that for us we can come to an intellectual understanding of based on teachings and our own reflection based on those teachings. But it's something that's difficult for us to actually perceive how the workings of karma are. But again, by utilizing our intelligence through hearing and then through thinking about or reflecting on what we've heard, we can come to some understanding. Moreover, when we are taught where actually it is that karma is created, we can come to understand that it is one particular consciousness or a mental factor of intention. It is that is actually karma. So therefore, we can come to an understanding that it's our intention. If it's virtuous or non-virtuous, that will determine whether it is a virtuous or non-virtuous karmic imprint that is accumulated. And it is that imprint that will later ripen into either a desired result or an undesired result.
As
with the topics of the Dharma, one requires extensive hearing or study of the topic, and whilst going through this process of gathering knowledge, one also engages in a continuous process of reflecting or contemplating that topic. In this way, one comes to understand it better. And here, as one comes to understand the workings of karma better, this also aids one's understanding of past and future lives. In fact, if one does not accept past and future lives, one cannot come to a good understanding of karma. But these two understandings, though, are mutually dependent in that, are interdependent in that as one's understanding of one grows, it aids the understanding of the other. Particularly in terms of as we understand that this life has come about independent on causes, we recognize that those causes had to have been accumulated in a life previous to this. Similarly, the causes we are creating in this life, they will lead to the ripening result of a future rebirth. So these two, cause and effect, and past and future lives, they have an interdependent, a mutually dependent relationship.
Thank you. yāne yāndu jeba, yāne yāndu jeba, gyumze samta, yāne yāndu dōchen jeba chiwa, tene yāne yāndu jeba chidu, tene yidan hawaya di, tene chi yār yār yār dōre, tene tene za ingi leja le ngeba nye, oda tene ye kune dō sanbe gita ngeba chingi griye songkra.
We concluded last time with Lama Tsongkhapa stating that one needs to meditate on the karmic cause and effect again and again, repeatedly over a sustained period, so that certainty arises. And certainty isn't just, yes, I know it's true. Certainty is that it has a profound and lasting impact on our behavior. Then one has certainty where one has and that inner obstacle to engaging in non-virtue and an open embrace to engaging in virtue. This is the sign of being certain about the workings of cause and effect, not just a mere acceptance. And this one needs to come to through meditating again and again on the topic. All topics of the Dharma require repeated meditation. This topic, though, also requires a deep trust in the Buddha and therefore the Buddha's teachings, because this is a topic that is included amongst those which are extremely hidden, which again, the meaning is, one cannot gain complete certainty in it only through intellectual reasoning. One also requires faith or trust in the Buddha's teachings, because it is beyond our capacity to intellectually come to abandon every uncertainty. So the only way to overcome uncertainty is through through the combination of analytical meditation based on study, as well as a deep and profound trust in the Buddha.
Tinge zin jebo lees, dawa karma jeban ne tung shingus, ne ridang zhondu jebe sa shi ba, namge kamne nambar shen jul kyang, kyeni midenba yi zi mi su, she song ba taras.
So now we turn to the text, to new material, and here Lama Tsongkhapa quotes from the King of Concentration Sutras, and the overall topic remains that of developing a profound and heartfelt trust in the words of the Buddha. So at the bottom of page 142, even if the moon and stars were to fall, the earth were to collapse with its mountains and towns, and the heavenly realms were to utterly change, still, no word you have spoken would be untrue.
That is Sanjeli, Devarushidwa, Chisada de Kansumas and the Tao Karma and Jela, Ne Tung Shing Sidida, Chisada, Tawada, Kamadi, that ma, Tisignadas and the Tawada, Kamadi, Tawadi, ma, Sachi, Selma, Sachi, Kamadi, Selma, Sachi, that and Dala, Tawada, Kaman, and to do Skorakadi. Dawa didan, somebody in the tap secrets, Tabiagi no secrets, Karma da, and somebody need it, Pat Tabiagi no secrets or that Nathanches, Karma dawa cheva, Nathanches. Tisai Karma Korongi, Dawa Korong, Jesset Dilepa, two Dachet, two Chanel, Troche, Salad, Tumbly, Salayat, Tungris, Tungsil, that tap set, I have Gris. Tene Karma di Yokorong, Karma di Jesset Dinema, Tinpa, Sarchinder, and telling Korong.
So first verse from Sutra is a praise to the Buddha. Look at the first line, even if the moon and stars were to fall. So in other words, if the moon and or the stars in the sky were to fall from their usual abode and collide with the earth, that would be the meaning of the first line. And so if the moon and stars were to fall from their abode in the skies and crash into the earth, now the second line, leading to the collapse of mighty mountains and all surrounding towns. Into the third line, and the heavenly realms were to utterly change. So the heavenly realms, or literally it's the sky or space, so this is considered a permanent phenomenon. So even if a permanent phenomenon were to change, that's the third line. So if all of these remarkable things were to happen, the moon and the stars were to fall and collide with the earth, causing the mountains to collapse and the towns to be destroyed, and the unchanging, the meaning of permanence, unchanging heavenly realms actually changing, then the final line, still no word you as the Buddha, Buddha Shakyamuni, have spoken would be untrue. So even if all these inconceivable things were to happen, still the Buddha would not have said anything that were untrue. To summarize, if the highly unlikely but conceivable moon, the moon falling and crashing to earth, or stars colliding with the earth and the causing the mountains to collapse and towns to be destroyed, whilst this is conceivable, highly unlikely, but were the conceivable but highly unlikely to were to happen, the Buddha would still have said nothing that is untrue. And if the inconceivable, a unchanging phenomenon, sky or space, if this were to change, so if the inconceivable, the impossible were to happen, even then, nothing that the Buddha has spoken would be untrue. Then Lama Tsongkhapa continues with his commentary. You should thus develop conviction in the words of the Tathagata and maintain it. The conviction here, of course, refers to causes and their effects. So through repeatedly hearing teachings and reflecting on what one is hearing, then one should give rise to a deep and abiding trust. So, but it's difficult for us to give rise to a direct valid cognition in relation, or to a valid cognizer in relation to the presentation and cause and effect. But whilst it's difficult to give rise to valid cognition, we certainly can overcome our doubts or our hesitation through hearing and reflecting, and through also a deep conviction in the validity of the Buddha's teachings. We thereby can give rise to a deep trust that what is presented as the causes that lead to suffering is a valid presentation, and the causes that lead to happiness is a valid presentation.
Chedayana yandu gomgul, yandu chebachi, gimze samdang, 好过这个，但是还没有呢，上一份的一些小的在地上。
Sometimes when people face an obstacle such as illness, they will approach a teacher that they have faith in and request for some prayers or for puja to be done for them. And the teacher may well give advice and say, yes, you need to do this practice or sponsor these pujas and so forth. And having faith in the teacher that they from their side approached, then they may well follow that advice and either follow it themselves or sponsor some pujas. But let's say they don't heal, or the person they are requesting prayers for does not heal. So then they may well say, oh, the Lama doesn't know what they're talking about, or the prayers have no power. So they may well have some kind of response like that. But the truth is, whether the person actually healed or not, we cannot say with complete certainty that the healing came from that cause, or the lack of healing was because of the fault in the puja. This is something we cannot say with complete certainty. So, and another illustration would be, so we know from non-virtue comes suffering. So this is taught very clearly. We know killing is non-virtuous and leads to suffering. But then there are some people who kill, perhaps butchers with big abattoirs. They do a lot of killing, and they are perhaps very wealthy. So this can lead to some doubts arising, that we see all this non-virtue being committed, and yet the person is living a financially very comfortable life. And the truth of the matter is, when it comes to the finer workings, even on that level, in the way that's been described, it's pretty coarse. Even there, we cannot see the direct relationship between a result and its causes. So therefore, we are very dependent in this topic on having faith in the Buddha's, in the Buddha and his teachings. Just reading the sentence again. You should thus develop conviction in the words of the Tathagata and maintain it. So developing conviction in the words of the Tathagata, this comes about through studying the teachings and reflecting on the teachings in general. And as one comes to see the validity of those that one really can observe for oneself, it will make it much easier to accept those teachings as being completely valid, those that are extremely hidden, that we cannot establish through reasoning. So in this way, as one develops a deep faith in the Buddha's teachings through one's own spiritual development, then those teachings which are extremely hidden, such as this topic, one will develop deep and abiding faith in it. In the final part of the sentence, and maintain it, this refers to that this is an ongoing process, that through one's own spiritual journey, one's own spiritual development, one's faith in the Buddha and the Buddha's teachings, this will become ever more stable. Namasukapa continues, unless you have gained uncontrived certainty about them, you will not gain the certainty that pleases the victors about any Dharma teachings.
Unless
unless you have gained uncontrived certainty about them. So them then refers to the presentation and cause and effect. So if one still doesn't have uncontrived certainty about the presentation on cause and effect, even though one makes great efforts in some other aspects of the Dharma, this one still will not yet be pleasing the vectors. The teachings on karma come down to from virtue, happiness follows, from non-virtue, suffering follows. And the presentation is, of course, as you know, more detailed than that, but in brief. And this is what we need to gain uncontrived certainty in. Because if one does not have uncontrived certainty that from non-virtue suffering follows, and then what constitutes non-virtue, one will not abandon non-virtue. One will continue to lie and to gossip and to talk badly about others, perhaps physically also to take life. And mentally, one will have thoughts of covetousness and harmful intents and so forth. Whereas, on the other hand, if one does have certainty about cause and effect, that certainty will be experienced as a, maybe you could say, like an inner firewall against such behavior. It will be inconceivable to oneself to lie, to gossip, to engage in divisive speech, and so forth. And this, then, is the cultivation of the ethical restraint for abandoning the 10 non-virtues. It is the very foundation for spiritual development. And it's from this foundation that all other good qualities can be developed, and we can, again, develop these causes that will lead to ongoing happiness and ever fewer problems, suffering, and difficulties in our life. And in this way, we are helping the Buddhas fulfill their objective or their goal, because the very goal of the Buddha in teaching the Dharma is to guide beings from their current state of suffering through the process of mental transformation, which is the abandonment of the causes for suffering and the wholehearted embrace of the causes for happiness, and thereby progress towards and eventually attain freedom from suffering. So therefore, when one has genuine and contrived certainty in the presentation of cause and effect, one then has that foundation for one's spiritual development and progression towards lasting happiness. This then is what delights the Buddhas, because their heartfelt wish is being fulfilled by seeing another suffering being slowly turning their back on the causes of suffering and embracing those causes for happiness. In various teachings, the presentation will have differing emphasis or differing lists to present the causes to lead to a particular result. So sometimes one will hear about the causes that will lead to good rebirths of ethics, generosity, patience, joy, perseverance, or the causes for liberation, which would be those and added with concentration and wisdom, and then other causes added to that to lead to Buddhahood. But what one sees through these varying lists is that they have ethics in there, because ethics is the very foundation for our spiritual development. And ethics in its most foundational presentation is the ethical restraint of the ethics of restraining one's physical behavior, one's speech, and one's mind. And what this comes down to is the presentation on cause and effect. Because this presentation started first with a general presentation on karma, and then went straight into these 10 non-virtuous actions, those that are committed physically, verbally, and mentally. And then refraining from these, and in fact cultivating the determination never to engage in them, this is the ethical restraint of abandoning the 10 non-virtues, the very foundation for all spiritual training. Because none of us want to suffer. We all want to abide in happiness. The suffering we don't wish to experience all comes about in dependence on causes. And the happiness we long for, it comes about in dependence on causes. So one needs to know what those causes are and strive to cultivate them. But in this process, the primary or the main focus has to be ensuring one does not fall to the lower realms. Because if one does not abandon the 10 non-virtues, and therefore a non-virtuous karmic imprint propels our next rebirth, it will be into the lower realms. Once born there, a being is lost to suffering. Their suffering is so intense in those lower realms, and their confusion and their pain is so intense, that the possibility for spiritual development is completely lost for as long as they are there. So not wanting to suffer, we have to ensure we do not create the causes that lead to the lower realms. This is, then, to ensure we do not accrue the 10 non-virtues. But moreover, knowing that we want a good rebirth, at least as good as we have in this life, we have to accumulate virtuous causes, the ethics of abandoning the 10 non-virtues. So here we see how it's a very foundation to ensure that we have ongoing rebirths and can continue our spiritual development. We need to train in this presentation on cause and effect. It will often, in various contexts, be presented as ethics. But what ethics comes down to us at its foundational level is this presentation of cause and effect. We all want to abide in happiness. And every time we have problems, we're reminded of how we want to abide in happiness. And every happy result, every desired result, comes about in dependence on virtue. So whether it's a good rebirth, good conditions in that rebirth, or ongoing spiritual development and eventual liberation from cyclic existence, or even the attainment of Buddhahood, all of these excellent results come about in dependence on virtue. And the accumulation of virtue varies greatly. It can be of quite weak strength, can be of intermediate strength, of great strength. So this is all part of the same presentation on cause and effect. We need to understand well what is virtue and how to accumulate it and accumulate it of a high quality so that it leads to powerful results. Really want to emphasize how for us as beginners, this presentation on cause and effect is of the utmost importance. One may be drawn to other presentations, but this is the indispensable presentation. It runs throughout the entire Dharma. And this is what we need to develop deeply within us to accrue the causes for happiness and avoid the causes for suffering. Chapters before, we looked at a presentation on the suffering of the lower realms. There, we looked briefly at the intense suffering that beings are experiencing right now, whether they are suffering in the confusion of the animal realm, for the great pains of the hells and spirit realms. Those beings are having to endure such what for us is unimaginable suffering due to the causes that they created, now having ripened into such a rebirth. Not wanting to have to experience that ourselves, we know those causes we have to avoid. Because as with everything in life, if there's something you want, particular results you want, you have to accrue those causes. If there's something you do not want, you ensure you do not accrue those causes. Now, Sri Kapa continues, some profess to have gained certainty about emptiness, yet do not have certainty about actions and their effects, nor even care about it. They have arrived at a mistaken understanding of emptiness, for if they had understood emptiness, they would see it to be the meaning of dependent arising, which would be helpful for gaining certainty about actions and their effects.
This is certainly an
error that one can fall into, thinking that one has understood emptiness, has had many teachings, reflected well, and come to a conclusion. Well, every time I investigate, looking for the essence by which something abides, I do not find it. Nothing exists by way of its own essence. This means also causes do not exist by way of their own essence. And if there's no such thing as a cause, how can there be a result? So here, through their so-called understanding of the presentation of reality, they come to dismiss the presentation of cause and effect, having no trust in it, feeling that they realize their understanding of emptiness invalidates the presentation of cause and effect.
Yes.
Such a person then will have investigated wide number of phenomena. They've kept investigating and coming to the same conclusion. I find no essence or nature that establishes this phenomenon. It is empty of existing by way of its own nature or essence. So when I look for a particular cause, a non-virtuous cause, I cannot find any essence or nature that establishes this as this non-virtuous cause. And if I look at a ripening result, I don't find in what is a so-called result any essence establishing this as a suffering result. So I see no cause, I see no suffering. When I investigate a so-called cause, I find just emptiness. When I investigate suffering, I just find emptiness.
Therefore, through my investigation process, have invalidated the presentation on cause and effect. There are no non-virtuous causes. There is no suffering.
Right, they have arrived at a mistaken understanding of emptiness. So their understanding of emptiness is actually the opposite. They've completely misunderstood the presentation of emptiness and come to a completely mistaken conclusion. Samatankapa continues, for if they understood emptiness, they would see it is the meaning of dependence arising, which would be helpful. So if they had actually understood emptiness, this would have come in. They would have seen that the meaning of emptiness and the meaning of dependence arising are harmonious. They are not at all contradictory. As one understands one understands other. Therefore, as one understands emptiness, their understanding of causes and effects would deepen. The interdependent relationship between causes and effects, the understanding of that would deepen with their understanding of emptiness. So the understanding of emptiness should complement their understanding of the presentation of cause and effect. But that hasn't happened in this instance. And this shows the understanding of emptiness is deeply flawed. Right.
So with a mistaken understanding of emptiness, one can, as this person has done, ended up dismissing the presentation on cause and effect. However, with a correct understanding of emptiness, this will aid one's understanding of cause and effect.
Then chakta di yaqo shu chakku res. Yine zaha guay de dini, tar zingi dawa, tabi da gitu ma res de ta, che tam che ranshin tuwa yueba, tabi dawa da, yusin disi gitu ma res de chung. Na donda da di da yi jiba cha wa dini de.
This very point what is also addressed by Lama Tsongkhapen is three principal aspects of the path. Maybe it's the 13th verse. Moreover, appearance eliminates the extreme of existence. Also, emptiness eliminates the extreme of non-existence. And when you understand the manner in which causes and effects arise from within emptiness, you will no longer be robbed by the views of grasping at extremes. So that those four lines from the three principal aspects of the path represent the same meaning as here. The first line, moreover, appearance eliminates the extreme of existence. So appearance refers to dependence arising. So when one understands dependence arising, one knows that phenomena do not exist by way of their own nature or essence, but rather they arise dependently. They arise dependence on causes or parts or labeling. So appearance, dependence arising, eliminates the extreme of existence, existing by way of its own nature. The second line, emptiness eliminates the extreme of non-existence. Because when one has understood emptiness correctly, one realizes that whilst phenomena are empty of existing by way of their own nature or essence, it doesn't mean they are non-existent. Rather, they do exist, just not in the way they appear to the mind. So the first line is about dependence arising. Moreover, appearance eliminates the extreme of existence. And the second line is emptiness eliminates the extreme of non-existence. So these two working together, and we see this here in our text, that the meaning of dependence arising is helped by the understanding of emptiness. So when one understands these two well, then the third line from the three principal aspects, when you understand the manner in which causes and effects arise from within emptiness. So in other words, causes are a dependent arising, as are effects, and they are both empty. So the cause can be a cause because it is empty of inherent existence, and effects can come about as an effect because it's empty of inherent existence. So when you understand then the harmony between dependence arising and emptiness, the fourth line, you will no longer be robbed by the views of grasping at extremes. And this person here, who has misunderstood emptiness, has fallen into an extreme view where they have abandoned cause and effect. They have abandoned the presentation of karma. So by understanding a harmonious relationship between dependence arising and emptiness, one understands cause and effect, and therefore, one does not fall into wrong views such as this. So the first one last time. Moreover, appearance eliminates the extreme of existence. Also, emptiness eliminates the extreme of non-existence. When you understand the manner in which causes and effects arise from within emptiness, you'll no longer be robbed by the views of grasping at extremes.
同意,同意过呢,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定义,定 du che kare ta me na shen chi la ma tyo khong ngwe ni dru de ba shen na tu le nang go re ji sa din na wa na xin jia du chi ne xin ju che che ba che che ba chi de phan zhen chi li ya ka la ye ma tyo ba rang ngwe ni dru de sa wa ki ni mi du sen bi ge sam lo shi ni go ro ba ji sa ka la ma tyo khong ngwe ni yue de ba di me ba de ha go ro ba di ha go du dong ma se de dong go ro ji sa di ha go de dong yi du go ro ba
지단칼에
two, the understanding of emptiness and the understanding of dependence arising. They should
these two understandings should complement each other, the one enhancing the other. So to kind of explain them both very briefly, dependent arising, it means that something is dependent on something else. So it can be expressed as one thing being dependent upon another, or there's a mutual dependency or an interdependency. But a dependent arising means something is dependent on something else. There's a relationship between them. One thing depends upon another. Emptiness, then, the meaning of that in brief is, when we first come to recognize how things appear to our mind, whatever we think about appears to us as if it exists by way of its own nature, essence, or characteristic. In other words, there's something about whatever it is we're thinking about that makes it that, and it is that. So it appears to exist by way of its own nature or essence. But when we investigate, looking for this nature or essence that defines whatever it is we're thinking about, we cannot find that. It is empty of existing by way of its own nature or essence. And this is emptiness, empty of existing by way of its own inherent nature, or it's empty of existing by way of its own essence. So this is emptiness, empty of existing in the way that it appears.
When one investigates, let's say, investigates reality first, one takes whatever object to mind, see how it appears, and then investigate to see if it exists in the way that it appears or not. And one will investigate in the way the various techniques that one is taught, and will come to recognize that it does not exist in the way that it appears. It is empty of existing in the way that it appears. Whatever the object is, it's empty of existing in the way that it appears. Nothing exists in the way that it appears to mind. And this then, this recognition, is a recognition or the realization of emptiness. That the self, the person, the self appears to what we appear to exist in a particular way, we investigate, cannot find it. Self is empty. Empty of existing the way that it appears. But that does that mean that what one searched for and couldn't find therefore doesn't exist at all? Because if so, it would mean there is no self. There is no cause if one investigated a cause, or if one investigated a result, it would mean there is no result. But this is clearly not the case. Because, for example, the self, if I investigate the self and I don't find the self, and I find the self is empty of existing the way that it appears, this cannot mean that the self or I do not exist, because here I am thinking. Here I am sitting. I am now not so hungry. Earlier I was hungry, so I was experiencing things. How can I say I don't exist? But I am empty of existing in the way that I appear to my mind. So how do I exist then? Then one recognizes that phenomena, such as the self, exist merely labeled by mind as dependent arisings, dependent on the mind labeling or imputing or designating. This is how phenomena are said to exist.
to the process of labeling by mind.
Na nima etnici drumroshe bela impungo pe jiguyaku yuvin jiguyaku shuushe o shiyorse tati digi tati chutu mongu ore ekesa digi dang digi tati chola yorwa chola tumbo nyi tele chita tele shi yores kwenti yores yam ni michi toje kyorongi di chola nana kari yore labres kishtivres chola nana kari yores kishtivres tati chola nyi yorwa yoye nyi yorwa Mijigi, yon jiran nana karyo, karyo reski tiyudu, pudi lenjabidu, chula di nalan ta kaimes, chula di nalan kaimes agudu, arvoda. Ta dondala, sik digasun, chula di nalan kaimes agudu, di naci yuedo toshi gurwa, chula di nalan kaimes agresa. Chula di la karyo sini, di tombare resa. Chula di nalan kaimes agudu, sik digi, dondala karyo gusuni.
So, to the story from old Tibet about a particular very bright child. There are actually many stories about this child. So in this story, the child was walking along and had two bags on each side of the child, one on the left and one on the right. And they met someone and who inquired, "What do you have in that bag?" So the child replied, "There's nothing in this bag." So from saying there's nothing in this bag, immediately it's clear he's implying that there must be something in the other bag.
And then go to the dinner and.
And then so the person that says, who may be a little curious, "Oh, so what's in the other bag?" And said, "It is empty." There's nothing in this one. The child implied that there must be something in the other. And how that the story then relates to what the subject at hand is that a learned and skilled meditator, when they understand emptiness, they realize dependent arising. Together with emptiness, the realization of emptiness. Because emptiness, this term emptiness, what should come to mind for this learned meditator would be it's empty of existing in the way that it appears by mind. That immediately implies something else, that it does exist in some way, just not in the way that it appears to my mind. So therefore, the way it appears to my mind, it doesn't exist in that way. That way of appearing is not how it exists in reality. So it implies there is something else, and that is the dependency on labeling.
Is that 주바디 매사고 도르 세자 텐지게 남자 시연도 동 텐주 동베 된도 텐주게 남자 하고 하고도 디지털 텔레테 동만이 하고 그래서 챤실레 뛰는 주바지 쳇 아니 심도 제지 다 뛰는 주바마도 뛰는 주바 짜자하고 다 뛰는 주바마도 마티바 가라 마티바 지 따오 있는 민도아 선배게다 동바인 하고 그래서 제가 니네기 텐주 동베 된다 동바 텐주 된다 하고 세디티 제가 데 동바니 도시네 내일도 동바 텐주 된다 동바 아니 텐주 동베 된다 곧 거래시래
The skilled meditator will train themselves that whether they're meditating on emptiness, to then, when they realize emptiness, to also realize dependence arising, or if they're meditating on dependence arising, when they realize dependence arising, to also realize emptiness. The skilled meditator will have these two minds working in a complementary fashion, one following the other. So when they meditate on emptiness, they'll first see how the phenomenon appears to their mind, and then look for it to see if they can find this essence or nature, inherent nature that it appears to exist by. And when they find, they come to the conclusion, I cannot find it, it's empty of existing in the way that it appears to my mind. Therefore, it's merely labeled by mind. So emptiness leads to the realization of dependence arising. Therefore, it's empty of existing in the way that it appears to my mind, but it exists merely labeled by mind. Or if the meditation is done the other way, and they are investigating the phenomenon as a dependence arising, they'll recognize, come to the conclusion that it's dependent on causes, or it's dependent on parts, or it's dependent on labeling. And therefore, so they come to the realization of dependence arising, and therefore, because it's a dependence arising, it is empty of existing by way of its own inherent nature, because an inherent nature would necessarily be independent. So we haven't explained that meaning now, but that is how the realization of dependence arising would lead to the realization of emptiness. That's because the phenomenon is a dependence arising, it cannot be independent, in other words, existing by way of its own nature.
All this, Tony Gonas, the Tony Toba in us, the knees, then you return to Tony, Tony Torndu, Ne, Torndu, then ye tell it in Annikos, Chen, but then you return to Yipa, to a then you don't Tony Sidu, then Chen, like, do you know, Juba, do you know, how good he is? That Tony, that Tony do that, Leger and Eva, give you ever, give you torture, discussing it, that to my side, you, to my side, You did one too, And the Tony never knew the Telatin, Shelly and Nizhe, how about Nizhe? Hey, you should check here that you would say that.
So just reading this final part again, this final sentence. For if they understood emptiness, they would see it to be the meaning of dependence arising. So in other words, realizing emptiness should induce their realization of dependence arising. And then it continues, which will be helpful for gaining certainty about actions and their effects, because causes and effects are necessarily dependence arising. Independence on a cause and effect follows. An effect itself is dependence on a cause. Looking at it in either direction. So in this way, emptiness aids one's understanding of dependence arising, which therefore should also aid one's understanding of cause and effect. But not only that, it also aids one's generation of compassion.
And
How then does this understanding of emptiness and dependence arising aid not only one's understanding of the presentation of cause and effect, but also that of compassion? Because when one has an understanding of emptiness and dependence arising, one has an understanding of reality. One understands that independence on particular causes, certain results will follow. And therefore, one understands that from virtue comes happiness, from non-virtue comes suffering. And the non-virtue is created by afflicted minds, which have as their very root, the foundational affliction, is that of ignorance. In particular, the ignorance can either be the ignorance of confusion, so just a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding of reality, or the ignorance of self-grasping, where one misconceives reality, misperceives reality. So this is the position that sentient beings find themselves in. They have no free will. They do not intentionally create the causes that keep them bound in cyclic existence. Rather, their confusion is so overwhelming, their ignorance is so completely blinding, that even despite them thinking what they're doing is good, all too often it is not, and they're creating the causes for their perpetuating of their process of birth and death in cyclic existence. So this is the very foundation for the generation of actual compassion, which is understanding this process by which beings keep themselves bound in samsara.
And Wednesday night's teaching on Shantideva's gauging in the Bodhisattva's way of life, I recounted the story of the Bodhisattva merchant who was one of 500 merchants on a ship, and with their clairvoyance was aware that the ship captain, as they're approaching port, wanted to kill all 500 merchants, including Bodhisattva, so as to claim all their wares. So knowing, and so then with this recognition, strong compassion arose, and the Bodhisattva tried to overpower and eventually had to kill the captain. So the motivating
factor behind this activity was genuine compassion, knowing that this captain was about to create the causes for intense suffering over an immeasurable period of time in the hells. So out of genuine compassion for the suffering that captain was about to create, the Bodhisattva took this aggressive or violent action against the captain. So for ourselves, we have a very different response when we see harm being perpetrated. We do not immediately have a deep understanding of the causes that the perpetrator of harm is creating, and that whilst they may be in a position of dominance and power right now, they are going to be suffering for an inconceivable period of time in ways that are for us unimaginable. But someone who has understood cause and effect very well, this is how they will relate to what they observe.
Oh, yeah.
So all of us, we have an understanding of cause and effect, tends though to be rather coarse. We have an understanding of that this is virtuous, this is non-virtuous, but this understanding we need to deepen. We need to deepen so that we recognize that harmful thoughts, firstly, that we need to have the mindfulness to be aware of our thought patterns and recognize that harmful thoughts or afflicted thoughts only lead to suffering, particularly if we then express them and we bring suffering to others. And likewise, we have a recognition that we need to enhance this, that with a virtuous motivation, when we help others either directly or indirectly, we are creating virtue. And then we can utilize this knowledge of virtuous karma to rejoice in what we do, in the virtue that we do, and seek out further opportunities to engage in virtue. So whatever level of knowledge we have of cause and effect, we need to work with this, but not be complacent with that, satisfied with that. We need to deepen it further. In particular, we need to deepen our integration of our understanding of cause and effect so that we develop a deep barrier within against non-virtue, so that it becomes inconceivable for us to think or speak or act in ways which are non-virtuous. And coming together with us, the ever broadening, opening up to habituation to virtuous ways of thinking, speaking, and acting, so that these become what define us as our personality, this wholesome, virtuous way of acting. And non-virtuous inclinations, they become completely abandoned and become alien to us. This is how, or to the extent, we need to deepen our understanding of the presentation and cause and effect. So we'll continue then tomorrow from here, where we conclude tonight, and continue to look at the presentation.